that concludes our
New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
And we did conclude our
just remember, program. This is your radio station, and to keep it going smoothly, it helps if you become a sustaining supporter. What that means is you go to our website, you click on donate, and you make a monthly donation, which we will take it out of your credit card for you. Actually, I think it notifies you every month to make sure you still want to do it, and just kind of give whatever you can give monthly. $10 a month, $5 a month.
Right.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
It's a good idea.
If you care about this station.
It's a very good idea.
Become a friend of WGXC now by going to wgxc.org/donate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Hello. Welcome to Roots Runners Rhizomes, radical health and healing from the underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni.
Hey, folks. So today we're on the line with Melanie Dobson, whose official title is Brand Development Officer for Hudson Hemp.
So exciting. Can I say one thing super quickly?
Yeah.
I just want to acknowledge that this is Sarah and I's last Roots Runners Rhizomes radio program for a little while or the next little future, and just wanted to shower WGXE and shower you, Sarah, with all my love and gratitude for this opportunity and this incredible community and all of the people we've gotten to speak with. And just wanted to take a quick moment.
Back at you. I didn't launch into that because I didn't want to be all crying during our last interview. But hey.
So sorry. I didn't even consent with you.
All of our listeners and guests, it has been an amazing time. And, you know, Lauren and I started this radio program back in the day before we really even knew each other very well.
Yeah,
and so we've
kind of moved.
Yeah, we met in Brooklyn, actually,
yeah.
At the Chocolate Room.
Yeah.
And so it's been a wonderful time getting to know each other,
yeah,
and our community and all of our many guests. And, of course, the archive shows are still available at WGXC.org.
Yeah.
You can listen to them as podcasts. And I'm sure in the future we will both be back on
Yammering.
The airwaves in some form or another, but we've both got a lot of personal projects up at the moment and just can't do justice to all the responsibilities of being a programmer. The folks here at WGXC have provided and continue to provide a really great platform for our community, and we're really grateful to them. And and also, if you're listening, you know, there's rolling rolling applications for shows on WGXC. And, you know, we really love to hear your voices. And I hope if you're interested in being a programmer, you know, you don't have to have any previous radio experience either. They'll help get you up and running. And so rock on.
Yeah, so love you. And back to it, Melanie Dobson, Brand Development Officer with Hudson Hemp. Welcome to our show.
Hello, hi, and thank you for having me. I'm honored to be on one of your last shows before you take a pause. And I didn't know that was the case, so I'm glad that we were able to squeeze this in and for you to learn a little bit about me and Hudson Hemp. It's crazy to have a farm like this and be in such close proximity to Hudson and just the whole valley and all of the amazing things that are happening in this community.
Tell us everything.
Yeah. How long have you lived in the area?
So I've actually been in this area since 2011, off and on. I went to Bard College, so that was my introduction to the area. However, I'm just from the Berkshires, which is really just a hop, skip, and a jump away. But they're vastly different in geography and just interest and why people, you know, end up here. So my journey started at school, and I found myself leaving for 2 years, and I went to Northern California, and that's where I was introed into the cannabis industry and able to really work inside and get to know the culture and the point of view from the other side of the country, where things were happening much earlier on than they were here. I met Old Mud Creek Farm, which is in Livingston, and I came here a year ago. I returned from California, and we started the journey of Hudson Hemp, which really is a company that represents the growers and the processing of CBD-rich hemp.
Awesome. So tell us, who all is involved with Hudson Hemp besides yourself?
Yeah, so Hudson Hemp is really the vision of Ben Dobson, who is the general manager of Old Mud Creek Farm, and the people he works for, the landowners, as well as Hudson Carbon, our Carbon Institute, which studies our soil and really follows our agricultural practices and how they're really affecting our climate in a scientific way. And so our Hudson Hemp is also representative of that and their work. And then, of course, just Old Mud Creek Farm, as well as Stonehouse Grain, and both of the crews at those farms, which those farms do the growing for Hudson Hemp. So we're about 30 acres of just hemp, but we sit within 3,500 acres. And a large part of that is grown already in the grain and feed industries. So this was already a working farm before we brought hemp into the equation.
Mm. Amazing.
So tell us how you were able to bring hemp into the equation. And
yeah. So New York opened its industrial hemp research pilot program in 2017 to farms, at which point Old Mud Creek Farm applied for their license and became a licensed grower. And then Hudson Hemp was born out of the need to process that hemp further. And so Hudson Hemp holds our processing license, which we received a year ago, right after we grew our first acreage the fall afterwards. So Hudson Hemp is just 1 year old now, pretty much to the date in a lot of ways. Like the last week of November was when we incorporated and all sat down at a table together, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what this industry could mean in New York, how New York could really be a leader in regenerative agriculture, being a part of cannabis production, which, you know, in certain states where it's mostly indoors, that just can't be part of the program. Mm-hmm. But we're outdoors with hemp, and that's where the market is starting in large part, or being opened up to actual farmers. So it's a really exciting opportunity.
Great.
And I know that I've read that regenerative farming practices are a big part of Hudson Hemp. Can you talk about, was that something that was already in place with Mud Creek and Stonehouse Grain, or is that, how does that all work? And maybe actually for our listeners, if you want to say what regenerative farming practices are and why they're important.
Yeah, well, regenerative agriculture practices are important because we're at a place in agriculture where we need to go beyond organic or sustainable, because the climate that we're creating is not something we really can afford to sustain. We have to really go beyond and start replenishing our soils and building our soils. So regenerative agriculture focuses on building our soil and holding stores of carbon. And so our farm, Old McCreek Farm, was, and Stonehouse Grain already were practicing regenerative agriculture before hemp came into our rotation, but hemp really offered itself as a beautiful crop agriculturally because it is such a fascinating companion plant, and also it has incredible effects on the soil. And because of the vast root system it creates, it's really good for pulling carbon back into the soil where we need it.
Wow. And when you say companion plant, does that mean it's also enhancing the grain crops and the other crops that are being grown?
It is. And it's also offering a whole new vision in terms of other companion plants we can work into our system, but on a larger, in a larger perspective of what we're doing. When we say companion plant, I guess we mean companion crop, because we are always rotating every year. And we're not only rotating our crops, we're also rotating animals. And so we're trying to create a grazing system and a cover crop and companion plant system that promote just closed loop, and we're always trying to really make that loop close a little faster.
And so the animals are also contributing to the fertility of the soil. Can maybe tell folks, sometimes some people have misconceptions about animal husbandry, and maybe if you could unpack what it kind of looks like on the farm with the animals and the crops. How do they interact?
So they're interacting because we are moving them, we're moving them as part of a system. So when things get destructive are really when, in having animals on your farm is when you're leaving them in one spot, and they're, it's becoming muddy, there's less and less plant, and they're just... there's just carbon is just releasing, into the atmosphere at a fast rate, as well as other gases. And so when you, when you're able to move your crops and plants, the compost that they leave behind and the nutrients that are in the soil and the diversity of that is maintained. And so, that's sort of like honoring that you're, plant and animals have an intelligence that if you're able to maneuver, you're going to have a higher quality product as well as a healthier landscape.
Awesome.
And how are y'all finding the hemp plant to grow here in this region, in the zone? What's that been like?
Yeah, that's been a large challenge. And of course, for all of us farmers, we were met with a really tough season, but what, with devastating rains and heat, and so it was definitely tough for all crops across the board. But with cannabis, and hemp, the hardest thing is that the genetics are far behind other agricultural crops. The breeding is about 80 years behind, like kale or spinach or something that, just another crop and seed you would buy. Mm-hmm. And so the plants are not localized or naturalized to this environment. And it's also a challenge that there's so much variability in your seeds that one plant will react very differently than the other. So it was really, that was the hardest part for us. And We'll be working, you know, with our breeding program to address that at our farm, and also just sourcing genetics for this, you know, this environment is a challenge, you know, because even if something grows well in another place, there's no research or body of work to say that it would grow well here in New York, you know, in the Hudson Valley. So, yeah, it's a really fascinating time to be growing a plant that we don't have an immediate relationship with to know what will grow well where and how it will react.
Mm. You want to speak a little bit now maybe too about obviously laws and legislation and sort of government and public attitudes have contributed to this in a way, right? Because cannabis in the United States has been illegal in many places to cultivate, and then maybe on a state-by-state basis, certainly I know personally in my friend network, folks who've, you know, experienced cannabis cultivation in Hawaii or the Pacific Northwest, but in terms of like our local bioregion, the northeast of the United States, mm-hmm. you know, certainly this is all very new that you can even be doing this. And so do you want to speak a little bit too about, you mentioned that, you know, in 2017 things shifted, maybe if you want to unpack mm-hmm. that a little bit and maybe what we can look to for the future. How's it going?
Yeah, so I think that we're in a really interesting place. We're operating off of the farm bill that was released in 2014, which allowed states to set up research programs that were state regulated. And so that is what this New York pilot program is. And I think that for the most part, New York has been very mindful of the program they're creating. It was opened up from nine original farms to 100 farmers in New York this year. And now they've sort of capped those licenses. And I think it's clear that they're being aware of the fact that there's so much ambiguity right now. I mean, just processing is a very is a huge bottleneck. Beyond CBD, if you're looking for textile hemp or paper hemp or paper, sorry, processing and decortication plants that would be needed for those things, it becomes extremely steep in a financial sense and, you know, practically impossible. So because of the processing needed to monetize the crop, there are a lot of barriers right now to the market. And then there's a lot of risk once you're really inside of the market, because you're dealing with so much ambiguity and contradiction between state and federal laws mm-hmm. and just ambiguity about transportation and really laws beyond your state. And so it's really important to be focusing, if you're working in hemp, on your New York market and what that could and all the possibilities that are there with this plant, because it does go beyond CBD, although CBD is a really important component and it could mean so much for New York. And at the same time, we could be lessening our carbon footprint by being a lot, you know, by having an industry that was very diverse and offered a lot to different parts of the market, in packaging or in medical or food or fashion. And so that's really exciting. But that's kind of like reading the laws and trying to be positive about what they could mean for us within state, because right now that's all we can really be certain of.
Sure. Yeah. Wow.
What kinds of products do you currently produce, and what are the plans for the immediate future?
Yeah, so right now we produce CBD oil and CBD isolate. Mm-hmm. And the crop, we grew five different varieties, so that will allow us five different kinds of oils to be processed this year here. And those, that the isolate and the distillate, which I might also want to explain
for please.
People to know the difference, are sold or we're basically in partnership with a few brands in state who already had products, and we've just worked our product into, you know, the CBD from us into their products.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those, and right now we're also we've been doing a lot of development, and we'll launch a product and brand in the spring or early springtime.
Oh, like Hudson Hemp brand.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to bring it to the herb shop.
Yeah. No pressure, yeah. But.
And what is an isolate versus an oil?
Yeah. So that is always the question, because people, I think so quickly products were saying we're full spectrum, but people didn't know what that meant, like full spectrum of what,
mm-hmm.
And what is that a different, is full spectrum its own material? But the difference between isolate and distillate is that isolate is the furthest in refinement of a CBD plant you could go. You're isolating just the CBD compound from all of the other material.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 99% pure CBD, and it's in a crystalline form, meaning it's like a powder.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that consistency, it's pretty flexible as an ingredient. You know, you can kind of put powder in a lot of things. So mm-hmm. I think that from a product development standpoint, people like it because of that. And then also it's because it's 99% pure, it's very easy to dose
mm-hmm.
that because, you don't have to do any conversions or any ratios. It's just, you know, pretty much one-to-one CBD. So that is the isolate. And then distillate or hemp oil is a broad spectrum of cannabinoids, and is an oil from the hemp plant. So it goes through either, in our case, we use human grade ethanol,
mm-hmm.
And you process it through distillation and then a short path distillation process to concentrate the CBD. And, you know, in the form of oil. So that is, you know, in my opinion, a higher quality product, because within that, the CBD compound becomes a lot more bioavailable. So your body can uptake it faster because it has other cannabinoids and other plant parts to help your body kind of situate the CBD.
Mm. Mm. Like so many plants, when we imbibe them and ingest them in their most natural form,
yeah,
they have so
form.
Much wisdom within one single plant, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So much magic too.
Yeah,
definitely.
And the what happens in the processing? So there's like plant material left over after the distilling or the isolating process. Do you compost that, or is there any other industrial use?
Literally,
for
that was my question too.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice job, friends.
So have not discarded any part of. Any other part of what comes out from our extraction,
mm-hmm.
Because to us it's all valuable, and we don't have enough tests. You know, as a whole, the industry hasn't done enough testing, or just had enough time with with all these different parts of the plant to really know what, how to work with them and what's important. We might be not even cognizant yet of like what is really amazing about cannabinoids and CBD. So yeah, we have all other parts. You come out with the terpenes separately. Oh, the terpenes are the aromatic component of the plant and they are highly volatile. So you do lose them before being able to extract all of them, but we have fractionated off or separated our terpenes, and so we have that part, and we've already developed a product with that, which is exciting. And then we also have like basically the bulk rest of the plant material, which is kind of like the crude oil but with the CBD distillate already removed from it. So it's just like a dark liquid with everything else.
Oh, wow.
Wow. What's the product with the terpenes?
Yeah.
So we worked with Source Adage, which is in Hudson on Warren Street, and they put out a line of apothecary candles, and they used terpenes that from our crop.
Wow.
In that product.
Yeah,
and it's really beautiful. I would suggest you going there and smelling it if you live in Hudson. It's a cool candle and cool first use of the terpenes.
Amazing. And so you have, so you mentioned that next year you'll be launching the Hudson Hemp brand of CBD oil products.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what that's going to look like?
Yeah. So we will be launching Treaty from Soil to Spirit, which is a line of tinctures or droppers or drops, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a hemp oil. And what makes ours different, or our product different, is that it's fully bioregional in all of its ingredients, and we're crafting each one to affect, you know, to provide the person using it with a certain feeling. So we have one that addresses inflammation, one that addresses stress or just helps you calm down, and one that is for focus and clarity. So
my personal fave.
Yeah, I'm like, those three, great. That sounds great.
Yeah. And we did not pull them out of thin air as feelings we wanted to capture. We really feel like there's significant research to show us that CBD can be helpful in all of these areas, and the way it creates that effect is through its synergy with other terpenes and the distinct aromatic profile of a given variety of cannabis. So that's what we're trying to recreate in each of our formulas. We're working with other botanicals to capture those feelings through the terpene profile.
That's amazing. And,
You
know, on Roots Runners Rhizomes in the past, we've had a couple other guests describing both CBD and also THC products. We had Etain, the New York's only woman-owned medical marijuana pharmacy, and we had the pharmacist on talking a bit about sort of some of the different effects and uses. But it's really great. I really am appreciating how you've structured your product, because, you know, I have a healing arts practice also, and folks who are needing some help, it's sometimes quite overwhelming, you know, to choose a product, and especially when something is maybe gaining in popularity and there's a lot of products that are vying for a person's attention, and, you know, you go to the store, you're not feeling well, and you look at all these things, oh, I don't know which one to get, you know. And I just think this is really great because it's both very clear and specific, but also pretty streamlined. You know, people will be very clear on the effects and what they can hope to get from working with them. That's super. So,
Oh yeah, sorry.
Oh, I didn't hear. I think my headphone just did something funny. Anyway, so
that's okay.
So you're gonna have drops in tincture bottles, and any other? Will you have any? Are those for oral ingestion, or are any of those suitable for topicals? I know that because we also had a guest, Amanda Henry, who's a local Hudson resident, and she's been working with Hudson CBD oil in her topical products. Will you be offering any topical products too, or?
So we will. We decided to start with the drops, which are ingestible, and we've done that because when you use these drops, you want to put them underneath your tongue and that really creates the fastest absorption into your body, which is really great and important. And there's research to show like that, you know, that to kind of show the effectiveness of that dosage method.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to continue into topicals because there's such a desire for that, and we feel we could make a really nice product, but we'll be probably tiering our launches, you know, throughout the year. And the reason for that is we really want to question each of our formulations and work with it and really make the best product possible.
That's great. I know that, to back up a little bit, you mentioned that, I think it was the Hudson Carbon, I forget the name you said. At any rate, you're measuring carbon sequestering or on the farm? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit too about sort of that, and also if it makes sense to discuss at the same time sort of all of the, for want of a better word, it sounds like you're keeping really good track, sort of not just of like impact on the environment, effect on the environment, and also for the people working with your products. Do you want to talk about sort of all the science that you've got going on, I guess, is maybe a simple way of saying that?
Yeah. So it really goes back to what I said about regenerative agriculture and soil carbon and the vital nutrients in our soil that indicate our soil carbon. And so what Hudson Carbon does is really monitor and research the impact of what we do and our agricultural practices. So our crop rotation that I mentioned, the animal grazing, and then our nitrogen cycles and really measure throughout a season what our carbon in our soil looks like where we are at. And in that, we are comparing our soil contents with conventional farms, so farms that are just grown, you know, with chemical fertilizers, and it's a lot of monocropping, so they're just growing the same thing every year in the same place, and really showing the difference of what we're, you know, the measured difference of what our soil looks like versus theirs. And with that, presenting, you know, a new model of agriculture for things like grains and feed that is replenishing for our soil carbon.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And in terms of the pharmacology around your products, how do you have an on-staff pharmacologist or pharmacist, or do you work with or do you partner with someone on that, or how does all that work?
Yeah, so our product development is done in-house by a person named Stacy Sood, and she has a background in supplement development. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that herbalism as well as science and really plant science and synergy. And so we work with her, but we're also partnered with ICCI, which stands for the International Cannabinoid and Cannabis Institute. And what they are doing for us is bringing all of the testing of our products to the higher level. So they're doing metabolic scans, which can show us how all the different compounds in our plant, like what all the levels of the compounds in our plants, or sorry, where all the levels mm-hmm. are and how they interact together. And so that will just give us more information on our hemp oil and how it is really working with when we're combining it with other plants that are not, you know, not the same as the oil. So that's our process. And I think that just looking at our process, which already, has taken quite some time, it's really going to be interesting in a few years when the whole industry, as well as us, just have more time with the hemp and the products that it can create and all the different extraction methods and so on.
Yeah, all this innovation is really remarkable, and you're really embodying a unique model. Did you have any other models that you studied in particular to kind of come up with what you're doing?
Oh, sorry, could you say that again?
Oh yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I was just like off the air for a moment.
Oh, no worries. Maybe it was my phone or something strange. I just said, I think something like, yes. So everything you're doing is so innovative, and the industry and the community, I guess we could also call it, around cannabis cultivation is still pretty new and formative, really, in the United States anyway. And I was just wondering if you have plans, A, to be, since you're really making a new model, inventing a new model, if you have any plans to be some sort of training or mentor program for other people. And then if you also, I know that you spent some time in California, but I'm curious if there were any other particular models or mentors that you all had that helped you develop what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's a lot to learn from other industries like coffee or wine, for instance, and the models that they have with coffee, just thinking of working cooperatively, and then with wine, really just thinking, and same with coffee, of the honoring of distinct regions, you know, because we are going to be faced with more and more people moving into this industry. So how we need to differentiate ourselves is through our region and through the Hudson Valley, and really thinking about what and learning and about our soil and what really makes our Hudson Valley hemp distinct and unique and desired. And so that's similar to both wine and coffee. But in terms of mentorship, I always look to Dragonfly Earth Medicine. They're located in Vancouver, British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And they have a regenerative peer-to-peer certification process for cannabis growers. And so they basically have really helped support incredible closed loop agricultural practices through this certification program, and has really, you know, brought like a high standard to the cannabis industry as a whole and the hemp industry, and shown how powerful kind of self-regulation has been for this this market because we don't have federal regulation. You can't be certified organic yet and recognized on a national scale. So it's really important that there's other systems and thought leaders in place saying, hey, this is what high quality hemp and cannabis looks like, and this is how you grow it in order to get here. And there are other people that are a part of that kind of movement, and it really is inspiring. And in terms of Hudson Hemp being on the market as a mentor or being able to offer those services, I think that we're a little, we would love to in the future. We're just not quite there yet in terms of just infrastructure within our company to support that. But we certainly want to be, and we are always open to talking with other people and helping to clarify, you know, questions about hemp, you know, specifically in New York State.
Great. Yeah, I know a lot of folks who don't have a background in farming have benefited from internship situations like WOFing, the World Organization of Organic Farmers, or permaculture situations, you know, and there's just so much complex information and practice that really, you know, you can learn a lot reading a book, but or taking a class, but really kind of living and being immersed in it is really a profound experience for a lot of people I've known. So that'd be great down the road. And it sounds like Canada is really they're progressive compared to the United States in a lot of ways, right? So their cannabis laws are pretty different from the United States. Does that have a big impact on why they're ahead with cannabis cultivation for medicine as well?
They are ahead in that they are growing it and have been, and a lot of the equipment that is standard on the market really comes from Canada. So I think having them as like a next door neighbor is hopefully a positive influence. And of course, they are much more progressive and ahead in this industry, as are a lot of other states. But because of where we are with regulation, I think it's important to learn from these states and countries who have legalized and learn what has worked and what hasn't, and how we can build things like practices that cater to our environment, or programs that help include all sorts of people in cannabis who historically would be shut out of the market. So how we can be more inclusive and aware of the environment, if we can begin to build those things into regulation and learn from states where that has or has not happened, could be really interesting.
Do you know of, say someone's listening to this show and they're not a cannabis grower, and maybe they don't even want to be a cannabis grower themselves, but they really value this medicine and they want to see it flourish. Is there a kind of, what would be the political activist track for a citizen are there any organizations out there that are working specifically that you think have integrity or that you know of around changing laws and policy towards accessibility and freedom?
Most recently, I was really inspired by a group called Cage Free Cannabis, which is helping like the cannabis industry and consumers like repair the harms of the war on drugs, and they're dedicated to that cause. So that's really inspirational to me. That's something that I'm always very, and that Hudson Hemp is very mindful of. But the fact that they're really doing the work is really awesome. And, you know, just being aware of the fact that hemp and cannabis come from, you know, a tumultuous kind of history, that, and the war on drugs has been very destructive to a lot of families and is still, and people, and is still affecting a lot of things today and still part of the equation. So restorative justice and making that a part of a company's mission is really important. So yeah, I think they're really great. In terms of hemp education and advocacy, the Hemp Industries Association is doing really cool things. And so those are the things that come to mind.
That's great. That's really good to know.
And then, of course, NORML, National Organization of the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is always doing amazing work as well.
Do you have links to any of these organizations on the Hudson Hemp website?
We don't, but we should. And if I were to mention another resource to check out, I would say look at Project CBD if you are still just wondering what CBD is, what research is out there, what it could be used for. Project CBD, I believe it's projectcbd.org, is really an amazing resource and place to go.
So Project CBD and cage-free cannabis?
Yes.
And what was the other?
That's cagefreecannabis.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reform. NORML.
NORML. Okay.
Yes.
Great. That's awesome.
Which is NORML.org.
Great. And actually, since we're saying all these resources, do you want to, is it hudsonhemp.what?
.com.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And there's no... There's currently no retail available online. Will there be an online component in the future when your product line is launched? Or is that something that people can... How will that work?
Yes. So there will be an online component. And that... I would just say stay tuned at, you know, on with Hudson Hemp if you want to be added to a mailing list. You know, just email us, which you can do through the website, or if you follow us on Instagram, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, we'll be sure to keep those channels in the loop when we have something available. And I wish we had something available right now, because I know how much it's really wanted in the community, which is exciting. But I'm also really proud that Hudson Hemp has gone through the research and the development of this product to really provide something that's that we can stand by. And, you know, so I think it'll be worth the wait.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited. And I'm also so glad to hear you speak about something that other herbalists and food producers I know have spoken about. You know, maybe for folks we know who are more familiar with the West Coast of the United States, and then many other countries have sort of more of this tradition where a territory or a region is associated, like, for example, Sonoma County, right, in California, mm-hmm. wine country, right? And mm-hmm. There's tourism that occurs around that, but very, shall we say, regenerative tourism in terms of it actually contributing to the local bioregion, not just depleting it. And I certainly know the Hudson Valley region has so many thoughtful, caring folks who are really deeply invested in sustainable practices and also taking pride in the artisanal qualities of their products. So it's really awesome to hear you speak about hemp being part of that equation, and with all of our other great producers in the area. I have read also that, you know, certainly agriculture economic statistics seem to indicate that, you know, agritourism is the fastest growing sector of the agricultural economy. So, you know, really benefits all citizens of our area too to be interested in this, in my opinion. So
Yes, that was really well said, and I totally agree.
We have about 10 minutes left, and I'm wondering which of these topics you'd rather address, or both if you want. Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about the product line you have coming out, so we could speak a little bit about sort of your personal experience and thoughts about benefits from this medicine. And or if you want to speak just a little bit more about the history of cannabis as medicine, and where and when it's been cultivated throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to talk to both of those things.
Awesome.
I think, yeah. And I feel like on the product side, yeah, there's more that I can talk about because you mentioned all the great producers in this area, and we've really worked to make this area part of our supply chain, to really honor that, which is exciting and also was a really fun process, you know, just from being mindful of our carrier oil to really thinking about what kind of extraction methods we could use on other botanicals so that we could source from this area.
That's great. And then, so your product lines will be, there will be a product to address inflammation, one to address stress, and one to address focus, which those are pretty great and very clear. But I'm always curious to hear, everyone has stories about, you know, oh, I had my mom has fibromyalgia and her pain was really reduced, these kinds of things. Do you have any stories about folks who've been using CBD medicine and how it's benefited them?
Yes. Well, I personally have seen a lot of benefit coming from just the inflammation reduction, and that can mean so many different things for different people depending on their bodies, but on a just noticing on the national market where it's been really powerful or gotten a lot of pull medically is really as an anticonvulsant, so helping people who suffer from epilepsy or seizures. And so CBD has great medical potential there, and there are a lot of stories of it being so powerful in people's lives who you know, are constantly in the past have had hundreds of seizures a week. So seeing it being helpful in that area is amazing because it just goes to show how powerful the plant is. Mm. But in a day-to-day sense, I think that there are so many people suffering from just having anxious feelings or stressed, and the amount of stress just having technology, which demands so much of everybody at any given time, there is a need to kind of slow down and feel protected and feel like the cells in your body are being balanced. And that's really what CBD does and how it helps. So I think that there's a lot of promise there, and I've certainly seen a lot of people get a lot of relief from it in that way as well.
That's great. I'm curious about the Focus product. I'm personally curious because I also, if I want to, I can think about myself through the lens of being a person who lives with ADHD. And one strategy that a lot of us use is we tend more to go for stimulant type plants or medications, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. But I've been hearing great things about CBD as a focus enhancement. Do you know sort of chemically or biologically how that works?
Yeah, I do know a bit, and that is, in large part, we think of the Clarity or Focus product as something that kind of calms you and shuts down all of the noise to allow for just a pause and a stillness and a clarity. And so our product is kind of, we think of it as like a forest bathing product, in that
nice.
It's very piney. Uh-huh. And so it's that moment of clarity that you get when you walk into a forest and you smell all of the pininess. And that is a pinene as a terpene. And so we've worked with ingredients that are high in apinene, which also aids memory and is a bronchodilator. So good for your respiratory, and I think that the memory support is a beautiful idea as well. And so that's really what that product focuses on. And I think that, you know, that need to become, you know, to have enough pause and focus in your life, that you have like a longer attention span, is a feeling that a lot of people want and need. And I'm glad that there are alternatives.
Yeah, that sounds great. Can't wait for that one. We have about 5 minutes. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about yet that you want to bring up that you feel is special or unique or just important about what Hudson Hemp is doing?
Yes, I think that we covered a lot, which I'm happy about, and we covered a lot of the affiliations that Hudson Hemp has. I would just say that it's good to pay attention right now if you are using a hemp or CBD product, you know, to where they're sourcing, because I think, you know, and learning really about what their practices are. I think that Hudson Hemp is putting such an emphasis on the farming and the agricultural side of this and what that means. And that's really special in a time when this industry is moving so quickly and we have a new agricultural crop that could really make people pay attention to how things are grown in large scale in our, you know, in our country. And so, I'm happy that I was a part of this radio show, especially on one of the last ones. And I would just say, you know, to anyone listening, if you have further questions, I think this is a longer conversation, just learning about cannabis and hemp and CBD, and to feel free to reach out and ask questions. We're always curious to know what people want to learn and know.
Awesome. And that's hudsonhemp.com is the website. I'm wondering, do you know if there are any sort of studies, self-reported maybe, of anecdotal evidence around CBD medicine? Because I'm guessing, you know, obviously a lot of pharmaceutical products, the clinical trials are often, as we've discussed on the show many times, a clinical trial is often sponsored by like a really huge pharmaceutical company with a lot of money to do that. And you know, your industry is young and growing. Do you know if anyone has maybe a small scale trial or just way of tracking folks' benefits from this medicine, or is that something that there's really room for someone to start?
So that I would say, just learn. More science is definitely needed, so that is in demand right now. But Project CBD, which I mentioned, has a lot of science, and there's research, external research from the site through, I believe, its resources section. So some really great studies can be found there. I would also say that Ethan B. Russo is a really great thought leader in CBD. I think the work he's doing is really impressive, and has really helped us guide our product development. So if you're looking on Google, if you're, you know, just Google Ethan Russo, and the research he has done is really fascinating, but also utilize Project CBD for further references as well.
Awesome. And that brings us to the conclusion of our show. Thank you so much, Melanie Dobson from HUD